Hey, comic book collectors, do you want to protect what you collect? Do you hate when your comic books slide around in your short box, or you need to turn them sideways just so they don't bend or fall over? Well, look no further than Sidekick Supplies. Their product fits firmly inside your comic box, so you don't need to worry. And not only is their product made in the USA, but also ships free directly to your doorstop. Check out our sponsor, Sidekick Supplies, at sidekicksupplies.com and use the code COMICCOM15 for 15% off your purchase. Believe me, you'll be ordering more than one.
Welcome to the one and only Comic-Con podcast, your podcast for comic book news, reviews, and comic community drama, with your hosts, Nemesis Prime and Milton the Madman. Are you listening?
Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Comic-Con podcast, season 4, episode 4, recording this on January the 24th, 2024. There was a lot of fours in that. Holy
Yeah.
Pretty good. That was four fours in that intro. Holy crap. We are a really good show. No, I really don't know what's going on this week. Unfortunately, I didn't post anything in the community section, so we don't have any messages, so I apologize for that. But we will talk about some community stuff regardless. And then, we'll get into what we're currently reading. I didn't read books because we're recording this on Wednesday, so that's that segment's done. And at least there's articles to talk about. So today's going to be a short one and a very weird one.
I'll be covering the what we're currently reading section.
Yeah, I'm gonna put it all on to Zach. Zach, did you get a haircut? You look like you got a haircut.
I did get a haircut. I took the kid for his fourth haircut. I got my beard trimmed. I'm feeling pretty good. It was getting a little
look
out
at
of
you.
Control.
Looking all styling, profiling over there in Texas. So how are you? It's been a week. Haven't really talked to you too much.
Yeah, man. What's been going on? Not much, dude. Typical stuff, nothing new really. Just playing a little Final Fantasy VII, the original, going at it, going for that platinum trophy, getting ready for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I'm pretty pumped. I'm on a Final Fantasy VII kick, let's just say.
All right. Well, since you brought up the video games, let's get into this. Have you heard about this new game called PAL World?
Spell it?
P-A-L World.
No.
Oh, you haven't heard about this and all the controversy about it?
This feels like a lead in. Is this a joke or something?
No, this is a dead serious game, and I'm so addicted to it.
Power World survival game. Let me see.
So I found out, I knew about this game like last year when they dropped the trailer, and the whole premise around it is the internet and everyone's calling a Pokemon with guns, but it's a lot more involved in that.
Okay.
It's like if you've ever played Rust or Arc Systems, and then you combine like Minecraft and Pokemon all into one game. So. It's open world, it's on Steam, and it's only on Xbox right now. I doubt it's coming to PlayStation. It's still in early access, so if you have like Xbox Game Pass or Steam, obviously you can download it. And it's done crazy numbers. It's the second fastest growing game on PC in like the past 6 years or something like that. But yeah, it's so addictive. Like you literally just start the game, there's like no real story, and you're told that you have to like, this is what you can do. And you basically, it's like Pokemon. You literally catch these little things called pals. They have their own abilities. And then you can put them to work. Like you create a base, create a farm. They all have their own things like fire, water. They do different things like gathering and tons of different stuff. And then as you build your base, you build weapons. Like in the beginning, you basically start with just a club. So that's how you attack them to catch them in these things called pal spears, pal spheres.
Oh, like Pokeballs.
Exactly. It's a big old ripoff on Pokemon.
Yeah.
So obviously there's a big controversy on the people that are playing it because they're like, oh, well, literally half of these creatures look exactly like Pokemon and or they're like combined of like two different Pokemon, their designs, this whole thing. But it's a lot more involved than just copying Pokemon, I feel like.
Interesting.
But yeah, it's all over the internet for all the gaming side. So if you have an Xbox Game Pass, I highly recommend playing it. And it's multiplayer. You can bring like people into your world and, you know, go out and hunt them or whatever. And there's like gym leaders. But it's really cool because like once you get the mounts.
Like training. Like gym
trainers. Yeah, like trainers. But there's not like random trainers on the map. It's just literally all the pals, they call them. So, but it's really interesting. Like once you actually get into you get a mount, like you can, once you finally unlock specific pals that you can ride or fly, the game becomes so much better because you could see the world, and it's huge. Like it's a pretty big, you know, game.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it. I'm sure if anybody else have not heard about it, I highly recommend checking it out either on Steam or on the Xbox Game Pass. And, you know, believe me, for early access, the game has a lot to go for it. There is a little, very little glitchy, but, you know, they've already done an update since last week. So
interesting. I mean, I might wait before I
power back up another game, right?
Yeah. I'm too invested right now, man. And now, honestly, like, playing these old, I'm wondering, when you were playing Final Fantasy IX, did it have, could you speed up? Could you do 3x speed?
I didn't even try that. I probably should have checked, but
yeah. Interesting.
I don't really want to get like you, like you're doing this fast, but I'm like trying to like not get into a new game that I have to be involved with over the next month, or at least play something that I'm like, okay, I can do.
Well, you know, what's wild about thinking back on the original Final Fantasy VII is as kids, right? When it came out, 3 discs, it seemed like this really long game, right? And now, like, playing through it, like I feel like I'm almost close to being out of the second disc, and I've only been playing for like three or four days, and I spent a lot of time grinding as well. So I don't know, if you look like in terms of what we consider large games now, like Jedi, what was the sequel to Fallen Order called?
Survivor.
Jedi Survivor was a long game. That was a long one. Open world, obviously not as much as like, you know, Final Fantasy, as much extra stuff, but I feel like that game might be longer than the original Final Fantasy VII. So it may not take as long as you think it does anymore. Especially with that times 3 speed. That definitely speeds things up for sure. It makes it easier. But it's fun, dude. I'm having a good time. It's making me really excited to see like when Rebirth comes out and everything. So
yeah, well, again, I could have done what you did and get into another RPG like that, but
yeah,
I think I don't want to be too RPG'd out come,
you know, right, Final Fantasy. Just also reminds me how shitty Kate Scythe is, dude. Like sucks using him so much. It's not fun. He's just not a fun character to play with at all.
I mean, all the characters have been different. You know, we enjoyed Remake way better than, again, we were talking about it offline the other day, and how like the characters are different in this one than the remake. Like, I would have never really played as Tifa, but I love playing as Tifa in Remake. I think Cat Sith is going to be cooler. Obviously, you get to play as Red, so I'm excited for that. But then I told you, and you know, you told me that you can't play as Cid in this one, and then I told you you can't play as Vincent, which I was very upset. You only meet them.
Yeah. I'm guessing this new one ends somewhere around Rocket Town, because there's still a pretty big chunk of time. So like after Midgar, you have a lot of stuff that you still do. You get out loose, you go to the Chocobo Farm, you go to Fort Condor, you go to Junon, then you cross over the water, and then you go to the first time you go to the Gold Saucer, and then Gongaga, and then Cosmo Canyon, and then Rocket Town. So I'm guessing if they play it the way it is, you'll meet everyone, right? And then you said you can't play as Vincent, so you actually unlock Vincent. You can unlock Vincent You can also come back later and unlock him. But him and Yuffie, you can both unlock like way pretty like earlier than I remember. And then, I'm guessing you go to Rocket Town, you'll probably meet Cid, and then that'll probably be the end of the game there. And then I'm assuming it's going to be the last one's Final Fantasy Reunion is probably what it'll be called.
Oh, you're so smart.
I'm guessing big. It's going to be Reunion. Cause that's what all these little creepy, like monster, like the dudes walking around in like the dirty cloaks and stuff. They all say Reunion.
You're freaking smart, man.
All R's, baby. Triple R's.
All right. I guess we're going to go with that then. So you heard it here first. He's saying it.
I already spilt it. Damn. Square Enix going to send some people out after me for spoiler alert.
Let's get into it. Let's talk some comic books. So again, unfortunately I didn't post it on Instagram, for asking questions. I'm sorry about that. So we'll try to double up for next week. This week though, you know, as far as community goes, we do have a release of a comic fam, community member releasing a comic book in the massive verse, massive publishing, whatnot publishing, whatever you want to call it. comic Tom Garcia releasing Crashdown. And of course, good old Key Collector. If you're following me on Instagram, I had it on my stories. I think I had it on my post. Is Key Collector put it as the key of the week. Mm-hmm. And their reasoning behind adding it as key of the week was because everybody's going to be talking about this. And then yes. Rocksteady posted it. Rocksteady Collectibles posted about it and asked them if something about if they've even read it. And they even said no. So how do you know it's key of the week? It could be actually hot garbage.
Right.
But I said, that's what I said to Rocksteady is like, oh, you should respond to them saying it's hot garbage of the week. But again, we don't know. Well, I didn't get a chance to read it. I called the store locally to me that Zach went to when he was here in New Jersey, and I asked them, and the answer of the phone was, hold on a second. And I can hear the owner speaking to one of his associates asking about the book. Cause he goes, I can hear him saying, oh, I don't know. I've never heard of it. And then he asked the guy and the person said no. And then they got back to me and they said no. And then I called another shop that was somewhat local to me as well. They also had no idea what I was talking about. So I mean, I'm not saying that's every store, but again, some people, I think you had an issue, right?
Yeah, I went to not my typical. My typical shop, I've spoke about it before in the past, doesn't do a lot of outside the big two, you know, Image at most, for the most part. And so I'm never going to really find those extra books there. But I have like a backup shop that I go to for different things like that. And I actually want to read the book. Look, dude. We'll have
your
our
backup
opinions
shop.
On here.
Hold on. Is your backup shop like a guy in the alley with like a trench coat and you're like, hey, can I get that Ultimate Spider-Man one? And he just like pulls it out with like bag and board.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. No, it almost feels like that because it is like this other shop in this like really small, like building. It's kind of a strange building, but
he's the guy from Resident Evil 4. What are you buying?
Yeah, yeah, and he opens exactly, up his jacket. So, but, okay. So, anyway, you made me lose my train of thought there. So,
sorry.
I want to read this book and like, look, the one thing that sets us apart from what I think the most people, whether it's YouTube, Instagram, podcasts, anyone out there in the comic book community, I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find anyone who actually does as much reading as Justin and I do. And that's kind of speaks to like what the post was, what you said about Key Collector with one of our problems. It's not preface this by saying, obviously we have our own opinions on Comic Tom and that crew and whatnot, but the book is still like, I want to read it. Like I very much want to read it. I read everything.
Yeah, of course.
I'm down to read it. You and I read pretty much everything between the two of us. And I want to check it out, but there's so many people out here who like Key Collector is a perfect example right here. You're talking about books that you haven't read. You don't know anything about it. It'd be one thing if like, he's your boy too, supposedly. Right. So like, why didn't you have an early copy that you could actually read and speak about? I mean, let's be honest as well. Everyone knows Comic Tom doesn't read comic books. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and I do want to speak on something else here. Everyone keeps calling it. I feel like this is such a disservice because this is my theory out here for sure. But everyone keeps calling this Comic Tom's book. I guarantee you he didn't write the bulk of this book. I really think Fire Guy Ryan Sargent is the one who wrote this book. If I've listened to a few interviews of them talking about it, Ryan's the one who's talking about the book. He's the one who knows it. Tom is the flim-flam man. That's what he is. That's all he is. Mm-hmm. He's the smoke. He's the one who probably set it up. Of course, he's the bigger name. But I'm really thinking Ryan is the guy who actually wrote the book. In fact, if you even go on CLZ and you look at like, you look up CLZ and you look at the book and it says the writers, Ryan name shows up first. So I think everyone's doing it a disservice if you have an opinion about Comic Tom and you're choosing not to write it, I think you're doing Ryan a disservice. And I don't know Ryan. I have no issue with him, but I'm interested in checking it out. He knows his stuff. He knows things about comics. He's the only one who probably is knowledgeable in that channel about comics. So I do want to give it a chance. And when I somehow find a copy, I couldn't tell you how I'm going to do it, but
dude, you should have been on his whatnot. He was selling them for $4 unsigned and $6 signed for him.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
I would have known you really couldn't find one. I would have bought one on his thing.
I'll find one somehow. But I think that's you and I, our agreement is like on the whole issue here with the Key Collector is one, it's kind of shady where you're promoting your friend's book, which is obviously going to have profit sales for him. Because now you're putting, oh, it's the key of the week. And now this guy's going live tonight on his show and he's selling these books. Like he already, there already is smoke and mirrors with these dudes and their books, right? That's shady. But like, I'm so used to that. I'm kind of like, I don't, whatever. That shit don't faze me anymore because I don't buy from these people anyway. But my thing, my biggest problem, and you and I have been talking about it a lot lately, is just there's so many fake people in this community who act like they read, dude, and they're out here doing top tens and they're doing read these spec books. These are the hot books. These are the, and they haven't read those books. They're either getting it from one guy who does know the books and isn't the guy in front of the camera. And it's just bullshit, man. Like, I don't trust any of these dudes and their opinions on books.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of channels that, you know, pretty much do FOC and then like the top 10 of who's ever, whether it's CBSI, Cover Price. And these people are on there. And do they actually read them or is it just it's like a numbers thing? And you know what? I thought about that, too, today, thinking about videos that people make. And for the most part, even Tom, like Tom's videos have always been it's just dollar signs. And right. People gravitate towards that. And at some point, you know, at some point it's like, all right, yeah, you can do however long his videos are, like 20 minutes, an hour. I don't even know. Like, cause he does them with Ryan and you know,
his dad,
Nick. And he was doing it with Nick from Key Collector and Jim. And, you know, like at what point do we actually look at the people that are making these videos or podcasts and YouTube being like, why do I listen to this? Or why do I watch this? Like they're not serving a purpose. All they're doing is making me want to get this book because it's worth money, not because it's a good read. Like nobody
worth money should be quoted. Okay.
Yes.
Also.
Like, oh yes. Yeah.
Be finger quoted there. Worth money.
But again, yeah. Like key of the week. Why is it key of the week? I think, you know, there's probably more books that came out this week that people are sleeping on because
they
don't even read the books. They're just like, okay. Like I posted on my Instagram, a dartboard. They're literally just throwing darts at a board being like, okay, this is key of the week. Like nobody was, and we're going to get into an article tonight that I can't believe that it took me 2 weeks to find out about this. Then I feel like nobody was talking about. So,
In fact, actually, when we talk about currently reading, I'm going to bring up what a book that I think probably should have been would more likely as a key of the week, but one other thing, and I kind of got sidetracked because we were talking about the shops and reaching out. Like when I went in there and I asked the shop, my backup shop, the guy in the alley, and I said, "Hey, do you have?" Or I sent him a text earlier, like, "Hey, cry." He's like, "Hey, I didn't get that book." He was like, "Honestly, I don't order anything from Whatnot or Massive anymore." He goes, "I got burned. I lost a lot of money, or not a lot of money, but he was like, I lost money but purchasing those books and no one buying them." He's like, "So I don't order from them at all." And then it's the general consensus. Like, I don't know if there's a good title in that Massive or Whatnot. Combine the two, you know, what's a good title? The Ninja Funk was unreadable. What about
there's
the
Quested? There was
Wesley Snipes' book ever come out? I don't know.
Yeah, if Exiles that came out.
I feel like I read that.
But you know what? That even goes back to all the that goes. I mean, that's a whole other thing. Like that goes back to celebrities and people trying to get into writing, and it's just like same thing, like you know, Berserker and the Wesley Snipes book, and then what was it? There was that Mom book with Amelia Clark,
Ms. Marvel.
Lonnie,
yeah.
You know, it's like how much are they really doing and you know, putting into that? Because I mean, right. Like if you realistically, you know, like you know, Mickey Swagglehouse, we had him on, you know, he wrote his book. Like that's all him. You know, he didn't have like a backup writer with who's on like Marvel or DC or indie. He's legit doing that. You know, we've had other people on here before that are just, you know, writers as is. You know, we had Chad Larson on here last year with Death Shroud. Our of course, our buddy Ken, he has something in the works that he's doing with someone, but of course he's already in that industry. It's just like, but the YouTubers and celebrities that come in and like everybody goes crazy and the pre-orders go nuts, but how much are you really doing?
Yeah.
It's just like slap a name on it. Like anybody, I could just be like, oh, hey, I got a Ryan Gosling book coming out next week. How about get all the girls to get it?
Right. I like I said, my theory is that Ryan, Fire Guy Ryan
Fire Sale
did the bulk of the writing here. So, And eventually I will check it out, like I said, once I get my hands on it. And it'll be a fair opinion, like just like every book. Like, yeah, I'm not, I don't want anyone to think that because obviously I'm not a big Comic Tom fan that I'm going to just, you know, immediately crap on it or whatever, because I wouldn't do that. If it's good, it's good, dude. Like, whether I like the writer as a person or not doesn't mean that the writing's not good. So,
You know, like Tom's always posting in his thing and sponsorship of Key Collector. So it just, again, it's just very strange and odd. And, you know, and people just, and they eat it up. But again, I had obviously Rocksteady Collectibles showed a video of him canceling his Key Collector subscription and posting, and they commented back and forth. And then I had somebody else reach out to me privately in a DM, same thing, and like showed me a screenshot of them deleting. And hey, like they, and the person even thanked me. They're like, oh, thanks for posting that because I meant to delete this a long time ago.
Well, why do we, so like, here's my question with Key Collector app. Why would you pay for anything on there? Like, I have the app on my phone and I use it occasionally to like see if a book is, if I'm looking for a certain book or whatever, but I just use the free aspect. I would never pay for anything with that. Like, why would you pay for that?
I think you get the notifications alerted, like when they announce something, like,
so oh, the Crashdown's the new hot book.
Like, I don't know, dude. Well, like if they announce Crashdown as a movie based off of the book, like,
yeah. I don't know. Follow the news channels for free. There's other, like Bleeding Cool is going to break those stories before. I'll tell you what, Nick from Key Collector isn't breaking any stories. He's not, he's definitely not the one. So
I don't know. Someone will tell us what they, I mean, I don't really care to look it up, like what the paid version is, but
yeah, I couldn't care less. I'll never pay for it. So,
all right. So that's our little community section for the week. And as usual, you could always, send us messages to any of our Instagrams or the Comic-Con podcast at gmail.com. Let's get into some of our articles tonight. Let's talk comics first. Let's do some comic books. So again, okay. I didn't read anything because of course I hate, this is the one problem with recording on a Wednesday is I don't have enough time. Typically Wednesday is my read day, but since we're recording, Zach likes to get his books on Tuesday, like a, you know,
champion.
Like a golden child that gets to have the Marvel and DC and Indie and whatever else. So he gets to talk about all the books. No Crash Down, but still you have other books to talk about. And I'm not going to lie and say I read something. So what do you got there, Zach?
Let's see. It wasn't a big week, but there were some goodies in here. Okay. Let's see what we're going to talk about. So first off, dude, you're going to love the Penguin issue. Penguin this week.
Like six now, right?
Yeah, six. Penguin was amazing. And damn, okay, how do I talk about this without spoiling it too much? It's not much of a spoiler, but it is kind of like a, I'm interested. I wish you would have read it, and I'll have to ask you later because I want to see, maybe I'm not as familiar with Penguin's backstory here, but it seems like a bit of a retcon to backstory initial relationship between Penguin and Batman. It's all in the past. So it's not like present. It's kind of a, it doesn't even start as a flashback. It's just like the issues in the past. And it's pretty cool. I really enjoyed it. I thought that one was really awesome.
They retconned it a couple times.
Okay.
They went to school together. Yeah, there's some stuff.
Yeah, this is totally different. but not in like a wild way. But it's very interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how it goes forward and plays off that. So, yeah, Tom King, Penguin. Who knew, dude? Honestly, like I kind of knew when I was like, they're doing a Penguin solo title. Like, that's ballsy. And I felt like it was gonna be good, and it is not disappointing. Resurrection of Magneto number one came out this week, which was pretty good, pretty strong. Not a lot to talk about there, but Al Ewing with that one, really enjoyed that one. The X-Force 48 with Benjamin Percy. Dude, X-Force ramping up, going after Beast is insane. And of course, you also have like the Sabretooth storyline, which is a little bit in the future. It's supposed to take place after issue 50, which isn't even out yet for X-Force. But it's wild to think you got these two like super violent storylines going on in X-Force and Wolverine with like the Sabretooth war stuff. So that was really cool. But I think kind of like the pick of the week here, man, was Ghost Machine. So
Yes. Yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, came out. And that's what I would say would be like the key of the week. Now, okay, so based on based on Key Collector's statement on everyone's pages that it could fall under this because it isn't a traditional issue, right? It's kind of like an anthology type issue where it's a bunch of different stories. It's giving you an introduction into all the different characters in this Ghost Machine universe. So you get like a story about Geiger. You get a story about the Red Coat Man. You get a story about Rook, which, man, the Rook universe is pretty, seems cool. So basically it's these dudes, these like wardens is what they're called, and they wear masks, and each mask is identifiable. It's made me feel like Animorphs, dude. Or remember Animorphs, the cartoon?
Vaguely, yes. Yeah.
You can turn into animals. It's not people turning into animals, but each mask is like an animal and they can control that species. So like,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So Rook controls like crows, ravens, and rooks. And his buddy is, his name's Swine, and obviously is like pigs and warthogs, those kind of people, or animals, I mean. And then the other one you have is that they talk about is this one called Direwolf, and you don't see her necessarily, but they talk about her, and they have like throughout the issue as well. It's almost like after each little issue, they do like an old school like Marvel handbook like page of like the character and like a bio and first appearance.
Like an analysis. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, because some of these characters already have first appearances, right? Like, so like the Red Coat Man, Geiger, they all, and then some of the supporting cast in those stories already have first appearances. So there's those three, then the Rocket family, mm-hmm. something like that. And then another one called Hyde Park, which was really kind of interesting. I couldn't tell you what it's about necessarily, but this idea that every neighborhood or every city has like a darker side to it. And it's all, and they call it everyone has a Hyde Street. I think it's called Hyde Street and like Jekyll and Hyde. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, this dude has like X-ray glasses on, and I don't know. It seems like there's going to be some supernatural twist to it. It looked pretty cool. So it's fun, dude. I really enjoyed it. Made me excited to kind of get into the universe. Of course, it gives you like a layout of like when each title's coming out, and they kind of give you an explanation of what their goals are with the whole Ghost Machine universe and everything. So definitely check that out.
Yeah, I would think that's going to be key of the week, because, you know, building a whole new universe and the fact that they are giving you.
Yeah.
Obviously, most of these characters are new, but yeah, I'm super excited for Rook. And I remember when just seeing it from, you know, the artistry was, I'm just like, yeah, I can't wait for Fayback to do it.
Yeah, and we talked about it. I mean, you found the article
yeah.
a couple months ago or so, and we were talking about it. It looks awesome, dude. It is awesome.
Okay.
And you've got great writers. Like, Jeff Johns is writing in this universe. Fabok, who else? I mean, God damn, there's a whole list inside the book. And I can't.
Yeah, it's like, doesn't they show you like the pictures of everybody who's like part of this universe?
Yeah, you know what? I could open it up. They got the whole
Brian Hitch.
Yeah, Brian Hitch.
It's on there. Obviously, Francis Menapold, Brad Meltzer, Pete Tomasi.
They took a little bit of a swipe at the big two. I'll read the little. So they got on the front page. They say, however, Ghost Machine isn't only for basically they talk a lot about how it's creator owned, right? Like, we all know that's like the thing about Image. They say prioritize the artist and understand the power that comes from uniting with others. To that end, we completely co-own our company, characters, and universes together, sharing and publishing, but also in media, merchandise, and beyond. Best of all, we're only the first wave of writers and artists who will form Ghost Machine. Then they go on to say, however, Ghost Machine isn't only for the creators of today, but for the creators of tomorrow. We all dreamed of working for Marvel and DC when we first started out, but we don't want the next generation of artists and writers to simply work for Ghost Machine. As our company grows, we will invite tomorrow's superstars to join our Ghost Machine family and co-own the universes of characters we are building together. So, well, let's kill a little some shots at Marvel DC. I mean, it's all known, obviously, but like, I don't know.
But a little bit, but I also get like, you know, this is kind of like a follow up from our past two episodes with like, how do you get kids involved and how do you keep them involved for, you know, for the next generation? And I guess this is a good thing. Like, hey, they're literally starting this universe now. Right.
Yeah.
So like, get, you know, if you don't want to read DC or Marvel, or obviously because there's 80 plus years of, you know, DC and like whatever, 75, you know, close to however long, you know, Marvel's been around, same thing. Shit, you know, get them onto the Ghost Machine. Yeah, the stories are a little bit more mature, but, you know,
so I think this is perfect
for like that teenage or getting into the universes.
Yeah, for sure. And with the writers and creators, like what we talked with Ken about, with V. Ken Marion about, you know, and like a lot of writers and artists are having a hard time getting, like we talked about it when we talked about Mark Miller's statements, right?
Mm-hmm.
People not feeling they're getting paid enough, the big two and stuff like that. But so here's what the lineup they got right now, creators. They got like Jason Fabok, Gary Frank, Brian Hitch, Jeff Johns, Lamont McGee, Francis Manapool, Brad Meltzer, Ivan Rice, Peter Snedberger. That's a tricky name. Peter Tomasi.
Stroke there?
I mean, it's Snedge. Dude, it's spelled weird.
Yeah, I'm fine. It's
like cool. Scandinavian or something. Maybe. I don't know. And then Mytol Zuchut. I don't know. But I totally butchered two of those names.
That's fine.
But yeah, dude. So I don't know. I'm excited for the Ghost Machine universe. It looks really cool. I probably want to go back and read some Geiger and some of that stuff, familiarize myself with that, because I never really read Geiger when it came out first. But
I'm super excited for Rook. Like,
yeah, oh, it looks awesome, dude.
Uber. I just cool. There's a poster I just saw. It says coming in April, and it's got all their masks. It reminds me of like Battle Beasts, or
yeah, dude, that's what I'm saying. That's what I saw.
It is, yeah, yeah,
bro.
Yeah, they got like a wolf. There's like a ram. Looks like some insects, a snake.
That's in the book too. That's like
I was just kind of looking at the
page. Yeah,
like a poster. I kind of looked it up, but yeah, see, like that's so cool, and the art's great. I mean.
Right.
Super excited for that. And I like how you were saying, and I thought about this as you were saying how it went like the old school Marvel. And I guess it has like the bios and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that means, does it also say like, so it says their first appearances. So no one can ever bitch like, oh no, their first appearance is in this book. No, it's right here.
Nope. Set it right out the gate. It's Rook or Ghost Machine 1.
Yeah. And that's or the thing like too, Geiger like, number 5 or Geiger number 2. Like
all the Rook characters are like Ghost Machine number 1, which is just going to be a one shot.
Yeah.
As far as I know. So,
awesome.
Cool. Yeah, so definitely check that out. And yeah, that's kind of the reads this week, man, what I got.
All right, perfect. All right, let's get into some, we'll continue with some comic book news, some articles. We got some DC stuff to talk about. So, you know, this is something that I can't, again, this is, I was teasing, you know, foreshadowing this earlier. Surprisingly, I didn't find out about this until literally this week. And I'm surprised like nobody's really talking about this. Nobody's talking about the title and what was going on. So this is over at screenrant.com. So Batman is officially copying the Spider-Verse as DC gets its own Spider Society. So in recent years, Spider-Man has been playing a huge role in Marvel's multiverse over DC's multiverse. Batman over in DC multiverse, Batman has his own Spider Society of his own. So in the most recent issue of Outsiders number 3, readers are introduced to the Bat Dimension. The Bat Dimension seems to be a dimension where the various subconsciousness of Batman across the multiverse can gather and train to come up with ideas to fight crime better. Considering that Batman can solve mysteries in his sleep, the fact that he's apparently training in his sleep as well isn't too absurd. And even in different dimensions, what is surprising is that the character is another character or another publisher has a very similar concept at play, obviously, with the Spider-Verse. So in this third issue, which I kind of quickly read it, you know, bits and pieces of it.
Okay.
Kate Kane. So the Outsiders. So there's only 3 issues in. So it's Kate Kane and Luke.
Yeah, I was
going
to ask who the team is.
Yeah, the team right now, it's Luke Fox and Kate Kane. They go into, you know, again, this subconscious realm, I guess, the Batman dimension. And you see all these different versions of Batman. Again, it's, you know, from Dark Knight Returns, you see some post stuff, you see some Batman 66, there's so many different things. And then of course you also see different versions of Batwoman, because she's also considered a bad character, but the whole thing is the Batman I should say are up against Luke Fox, because he just because he wears a symbol doesn't mean that he's actually Batman. So but it's really interesting. So I can't believe this just came out. I think it came out about 2 weeks ago, Outsiders number 3. So you can easily pick up the first 2 issues, still available. I can't believe nobody's talking about this, because I feel like this would be a little bit of a bigger thing, you know, obviously with so much success that Into the Spider-Verse and Across the Spider-Verse. And I feel like Batman's obviously been around for so long, and there's been so many Elseworld stories before. Really, I guess, like realistically, like what would be like the first real Spider-Man outside of Peter? Would have been like Ben Reilly, or would you think like Spider-Man 2099? Like those are more
Ben Reilly.
Like that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, the clone stuff.
But even like that is like still normal continuity.
Right.
I think Spider-Man 2099 would have been like the first, like, yeah, it would have been the first future.
Kind of, yeah.
probably.
But yeah, so all these Batman are, you know, all taken all from different things. And I, to be honest, like, I'm surprised it's not gotten, you know, either more praise or hate. Or, you know, it's kind of a sleeper title because I didn't even realize that they restarted Outsiders. Because, I'm, you know, the last Outsiders team was like, what was it, like Black?
Yeah, Black Lightning and...
couple other characters I just can't think of off the top of my head. That was like the whole Ra's al Ghul thing. So
yeah, it was a while ago. I had that whole run. Yeah, I read that one.
It's
Signal was in that.
Sleeper titles. Katana. So like this is what, you know, we're talking about. Like Zach and I, we read our books, and I'm surprised I didn't know about this. So now I'm actually going to go out and try. I know that these are available. So issues 1, 2, and 3 of Outsiders to see what's going on with Kate Kane and Luke Fox. So. What are your thoughts on kind of this Batman, you know,
I don't know.
Batman dimension?
I'm not crazy about it. I love Batman, but like, I don't want to see, I mean, I talk about it all the time about how I think the Spider-Verse is so annoying. And it's all they do. And I mean, it makes sense. Like, I understand why DC's doing it because let's be honest, Batman's really the title that sells the most. All the Batman related titles are the best selling titles, period. Mm-hmm. So like, why wouldn't you lean into that and actually try to like beef it up? Because you're, you know, it's crazy. I mean, there's so many opportunities to do that, right? You're just talking just what you talked about. You only talked about Batman. Yeah. And you talked about like the Robins of every one of those universes. I mean, those, that should just like, to make an analogy, spider webs, right? For like a Spider-Man analogy there. But once you get into each universe's Robins and then their Jokers and then their villains, I mean, it's just that shit can blow up. So, there's a lot of potential there for stories. I'm just, like I said, man, I'm tired right now of alt universes, multiverses, stuff like that. And then we're kind of seeing that already in the, I mean, is this tied in? Cause I haven't read the Outsiders either. I know
where you're going to go.
Is it tied into Sidarsky's thing too? Cause that's kind of, you got the Zurin Awe alt Batmans as well. And like,
it seems, I mean, not really. It doesn't like, you know, do the little asterisks like check out Batman, you know, 130 to know what's going on in the world of in Batman's head type of thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it's a little bit because, you know, all the Batmans are there, but you don't see like the Zero Earth Batman. Mm-hmm. But you do see like other Batman. But not in this, it's not in the same vein as that. Like there's a main Bat character, and I don't want to spoil it, like to go and check it out. Like there's a different character who is kind of like the leader there, and it's not Zara Earth Batman.
I'll okay.
Put it like that. But like you don't really see like a, you don't see like the whatever, the new 52 or Rebirth 616 version of Batman. Like there's all different weird versions of Batman in there, obviously, because he would be in the real world. But like all the different versions of Kate Kane, like there's a Batwoman version of her who's got like the head of a fish. And then there's obviously like a Joker version. So like there's one that has her like black and red outfit, but it's like got the Joker smile and stuff like that. So again, it's a little different. And even there is a Batman that has like the Joker look as well. So, but I don't think it's as deep rooted as what like Zdarsky's doing. Okay. But again, I don't know. It's
see where it goes.
A little early, but I'm surprised like people aren't talking about this and, you know, a different title to, you know, maybe check out. So, and I've always curious to see where Kate would end up because I thoroughly enjoyed her new 52 run. And I liked her when she was on the detective, like when they redid the Rebirth. I liked
her. Yeah. Oh, yeah. She was great there. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Good to see her, you know, land on her feet somewhere in the Batman universe.
Mm-hmm.
Got to find out where Red Hood's doing because he needs his own title, man.
Been missing for a little bit.
I know. Yeah, I think they're doing like a mini series. I think it's called Down the Hill or something. I saw posted. I think I saw something. I'm on some like random like Facebook group for like Red Hood fans, and they always like post like anything like Red Hood. So anything like Red Hood news pops up, they're always like, "Oh, the solicitations are out, and he's like going to show up in this issue here." And I think that was like the next title. It's called like Down the Hill or The Hill.
Interesting.
So yeah. That is our Batman news, and let's stick with some DC stuff. So of course, Free Comic Book Day right around the corner. You know, that's always the one time of the year that people go crazy, right around May to go and find those free comic books at your local comic shop. Cause there's probably some first appearance virus. So, So this year, DC teases mystery major, quote, major event kicking off on Free Comic Book Day. And we always hear that every year, right?
With like, dude, every one of their events, bro.
Yeah. This is, of course, exciting news for any fan of the DC franchise major event of 2024. And just kidding. Here are some of the mysterious blurbs from their provided from their comic book club by DC Comics. So the prelude to the biggest DC comic book event of 2024 will drop on May the 4th at all participating retailers. It's a story 30 years in the making. And in this special Free Comic Book Day tale, an original story leading into a new series launching summer 2024, the final domino to fall, the final brick on the wall, and an epic scheme comes tumbling down, and the DC universe will never be the same. More details to come soon. So,
I don't know. I'm looking at these comments though, and I feel like some of them are really funny, and some of them are also like mirroring what I'm thinking. So, like, one guy puts, how many times has the comic universe been changed now? Like, didn't we just talk, what was the story you brought it up? I think I read the first couple issues, the island one. What was the one where like the island blew up? It was like tied with Ra's al Ghul with the Lazarus one.
Lazarus Planet.
And that was the same thing lead in. It was like, oh, it's going to be a major event. It's going to change the whole DC universe. Okay, yeah. Dude. I'm going to read some of these. These are kind of funny. So,
but you know, so real quick, before you get into it, let me finish up because I do want to hear these comments. I didn't say it. So, you know, in the article it goes, so what could this book be? Presumably this is a continuation of the Uber story DC has been telling for the past few years involving Amanda Waller and a carat of DC villains. Each event has tumbled into the next one, from Night Terrors to the Gotham War to the currently running Titans Beast Wars to whatever is next. Conceivably, this Free Comic Book Day could be whatever is next. Previously, DC teased a Trinity of Evil is coming. Could this be that? Who knows? Now
that's true. She has kind of, Waller's been like going to different universes and getting different like alt characters and bringing them in. She has been kind of behind the scenes. So maybe.
Kind of like pushing her up the rank.
But it's funny though also to even act like, oh, she's, this is a major change, man. Guess what we're going to do? Guess what, guys? Guess what? You'll never guess. Amanda Waller has been behind the scenes doing something kind of shady. No one knows about it. Like, what do you mean? That's her whole character, dude. There's literally nothing new with that storyline. Like,
yeah,
that's just, oh, she bring it. I guarantee you some way she forms a new Suicide Squad. I guarantee you. So, okay, let's read some of these comments. Now, keep in mind, preface this by saying, I did not write these. Okay, these were not written by Justin, nor myself, nor anyone affiliated with the Comic-Con podcast. So if you get offended by this, track this down, Screen Rant's IG account, and you can go ahead and troll the individuals who made these comments. So one, I'm not even going to say their names. One guy says, let me guess, something involving someone's race, sexuality, or gender identity. Another person says, a revamp that makes all their characters gay. Another person says, another crisis event. Let's see. This person said, where have I heard this before? Seriously, hope this is a positive direction. Another individual says, trans Batman. One person says, we hope seeing the return of the Justice League. This guy's actually true. The last time DC said this, we got the new 52. But his emoji face is like, that was a bad thing. I always think new 52 was great.
Yeah.
Plot twist. They kill off Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman. But anyway, it goes on and on. And there's some good ones in there. But I don't know, man. We'll see. I don't know.
I mean, you know, the Free Comic Book Day has always been, yes, a tease for this summer event. Right?
Jump on point.
Yeah. It's always been something that you read it. You're like, okay. And, you know, now I, because obviously it's getting kids or people that are normally not into comics. They get them into the stores, you know, and then you kind of gauge that on for the future sales. So I get it. I guess what was last year? But you know what the thing is, DC really doesn't do. I mean, DC did Night Terrors last year. That was kind of like the lead up. The year before that, I couldn't even tell you, you know, like what sometimes DC was, doesn't really do like
the Dark Crisis. The year before that, it was Dark Crisis.
I guess.
Yeah.
I always feel like they don't really do too much on the big stuff. Like these, sometimes they just come out with books and it's not even really like a, hey, there's a major event. It's sometimes I feel like it's better when it's just here's some stuff that's going to be coming out, and it's not like groundbreaking. Like it's going to be, oh, it's going to affect the whole multiverse of the DC universe. But man, I hear you on that. Like imagine they're not going to do like a relaunch. Mm-hmm. I don't even think like when they did that in 2011, the Free Comic Book Day in 2011, like definitely wasn't preparing yourself for New 52 at all.
Right, right.
Without a doubt. Like that just came out of nowhere. And I don't think Rebirth either, but.
In Free Comic Book Day, like you said, it's used as a jumping on point for like young readers and stuff. And here's the deal. I think every new comic book day, Marvel is always, their new comic book day, it's always going to be three things. It's either Spider-Man, it's either Avengers or it's X-Men, because they're trying to, you're never going to get like, it's not going to be like Moon Knight or like Ms. Marvel, mm-hmm. or, you know, even the Hulk by himself is probably never going to happen. Like they want their biggest fan properties to the forefront to be like, hey, come get excited about this character, which to be honest, hasn't been working. So maybe they should try a different tactic and say like, hey, look, let's bump up. You know, I'm just throwing a character out. Moon Knight. Here we go. We're going heavy on Moon Knight this year. Free Comic Book Day, Moon Knight. Let's bring people into this character. DC has kind of done the opposite, where it's been like event driven, where like their new comic book day, Free Comic Book Day has been event driven the past couple years. And the problem with that is the same thing. It always has to have Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman, right? Because those mm-hmm. are the big draw, the big people, they bring them in. You're not going to get like a brand new reader who doesn't read comics isn't going to pick up DC and be like, oh, check it out, dude, Mr. Terrific. Like, this is awesome. Like, I'm going to keep reading and I'll just probably collect comics every week, every Wednesday. You know what I mean? Like, no offense to Mr. Yeah. Terrific by any means, but the draw is not there. So, I don't know. But maybe, like I said, that tack hasn't been working either. So maybe you do highlight Mr. Terrific or different things like that. I don't know. I honestly, what they put out in Ghost Machine, I'm sitting here like pointing at the screen like these people can see me. Like they did in Ghost Machine, that's what Free Comic Book Day should be like. Mm-hmm. Yo, check it out. Here's a book and it's like an anthology and there's five stories in here. And like, actually, because like Free Comic Book Day is a short, it doesn't even feel like a real comic book, right? It's like three pages on each story. And yeah, they do kind of do separate stories, but they need to, they should flesh that out more. Do like a thick one, like Ghost Machine was, and be like, hey, here's a free book. Here's the different stories and that we're putting out this year, different characters that we're kind of like working on. Check it out.
Not so see, like, so two things to, so I just Googled real quick of what last year's DC was. So yeah, DC obviously last year did the Night Terrors. There was, they did, you know, when they have that like anime side or like graphic novel side, they did like two of those. But the other one that they did last year, which was like the first time they did that Dawn of DC We Are Legend special edition, was like the introduction of City Boy, Spirit World, and the Vigil.
That's right. Yeah.
Now the Vigil came out before DC's, because I remember they were in like an issue with like Red Hood and stuff, but City Boy and Spirit World. So that's like good, because you're introducing these characters brand new to show up and or to have a title. So at least it gives you like first appearance, or, you know, you get a bit of an idea of what the character is going to be like. My second point is, do you want to know what Marvel's Free Comic Book Day is this year?
It's X-Men. It's Blood Hunt, isn't it? It's X-Men.
So there's five. There's Spider-Man and the Ultimate Universe, number one.
Right.
So check that box.
Yep.
Yes, Blood Avengers, Hunt, X-Men, Blood number Hunt. One.
Yeah.
Marvel Voices.
Of course.
That's the new thing. This one, obviously, you didn't think about this. Star Wars, Darth Vader, number one. So I guess that is going to mean, obviously, we're going to get a relaunch. And then last but not least is Spidey and His Amazing Friends, which we've been getting. Which is the,
I always never really think of Star Wars when I think of Marvel, to be honest. You know.
Yeah, I know. But like, this is actually the first time. I think this is the first time that they've done a Free Comic Book Day.
They have the High Republic stuff. We had the High Republic Adventures like a couple years ago.
Yeah, but that was for IDW, not for Marvel. Like High Republic has that Halloween Comic Fest number one, but yeah, not this.
Right. I think you're right.
And typically what they used to do in the past was like they would do Star Wars Day. So like May the 4th or May the 4th. And I think that's why they're also doing it, because Star Wars May the 4th is Free Comic Book Day. So that's why they're also doing, I guess, simultaneously like Star Wars Darth Vader. So I'm excited, because that means we're finally getting past this, you know, era where it's the end of Empire Strikes Back, and we're going to lead into Return of the Jedi. So
that'd be great.
Relaunches of all the great titles on the Star Wars side. So.
Well, it could. It may not mean that. It may just mean because even Vader only went for so long in the first section, and then they had the Vader Dark Lord of the Sith run. It could just be another like run of Vader. Are you sure Star Wars is renumbering as well, like the main title?
I mean, it's just they're calling it Star Wars / Darth Vader number one. So I would assume that after, I think we needs to end.
Yeah.
Because I know solicitations only led up to like 44 or 45 on the Marvel side for, you know, for Vader. So unless they're just going to keep going with it, but, and there's actually one other article that I wanted to talk about since we are talking, Star Wars. They just announced a new one. I don't know if you heard about this, but we're getting a new Star Wars, Black, White, and Red.
Did you hear about this? And there's, I have a Star Wars title or something I want to talk about too, just to remind you when you're done.
Oh, so this is actually, this was actually just announced today over at StarWars.com. So Marvel's Darth Maul, Black, White, and Red is coming in.
Interesting.
April. Yeah. So
that's cool.
And that's a character. See, like, I like the idea of keeping the Black, White, and Red to the villains, obviously the Sith. So this is, guess who's writing it? Your boy, Benjamin Percy.
No. Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So four-issue miniseries coming April 25th. At least the first issue says it's written by Benjamin Percy and illustrated by Stefano Raphael. Finds Darth Maul dispatched by Palpatine to investigate a prison ship that goes offline. The vessel, however, is transporting a group known as the Final Occultulation, and horror awaits. StarWars.com caught up with Percy to talk about it. So, yeah, I'm excited to see. Because the Vader one wasn't that good. But
yeah, I read totally the first issue and I wasn't
ready for the Maul stuff. So
nice.
So yeah, out of the comic book section and into some TV/movie talk to round out the night. But
so this actually is a good signaling. My Star Wars is movie news because I saw, I think you sent it to me. So they fired. Oh. What's the deal with them firing the, what's the story behind that?
I don't know. The rumor is that they fired the chick who is going to be directing the next Rey movie.
Right,
but
the one who came out and said like we need there's going to be like super like feminist like we need women and that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, like we need someone, we need a woman to take over the galaxy or something along those lines. I don't remember the direct quote. I wish you would have told me that that's where really we were going, and I would have found that quote for the people. But yeah, so the rumor is that she's been fired, even though there was a post today about Daisy Ridley saying that the story or script is like so awesome, but you know you can't, people say that obviously well before things happen. Look what we got for the last three Star Wars movies.
You know, whatever. Like, I like Rey as a character. I know a lot of people shit on her. It needed to be kind of fleshed out a little bit more, her character. But like, I'm totally fine with like, first off, I feel like it's just this weird scenario of like, everyone thinks that it's so male and female, right? Like, I don't care. Like, I like Rey as a character. Like, I'd have no problem her playing the Luke Skywalker role in the new, like, iteration of Jedi. Hell, she'd probably be better because Luke sucked, dude. Like, they killed Luke's character. Luke is probably the most garbage Star Wars character because of the sequel trilogy. Like,
oh, yeah. Mark Hamill said it himself.
Yeah. The hope of the galaxy. And then they just threw him away. So let's maybe Rey can come back and like do what he should have done. I don't mind the Skywalker thing. I like the Palpatine twist. Like, I mean, that's classic Star Wars. It's a family. That's how the Skywalker saga, right? And the Palpatines, like, it all makes sense. Was it like groundbreaking? No, but like, it was still cool. So I'm cool with Rey coming back, but
yeah, I'm fine with it. You need a strong character. I just didn't feel like she was a strong character. To lead,
you just gotta make her stronger, yeah. And
yeah,
I just don't like it when you now have directors who are coming out and they have it's exactly like what we talked about, right? Like in the comic book side, like a couple weeks ago or months ago, the guy out of the comic book shop guy who said artists and writers shouldn't be putting themselves into the comic books, and this is the same shit that these directors are doing. Like this, whoever that director was, she came out and she has a bone to pick with society, and she's like, well, this is what we're gonna do, and it's gonna be geared towards feminism. Like, this isn't your soapbox. Like, do that somewhere else. You know, I don't have to tell you. Like, you don't own... That's the thing, too, with Star Wars. You don't own these characters. You don't own them. Like, you shouldn't be able to come in here and just tear them down. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, too. Who knows?
We'll see. But, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, that's the rumor, is that she's fired. But I don't know. Until we get official word, we'll go
fired.
You're fired. All right, so let's finish it up with some... Again, we'll continue with the movie news. So this one is, we're going to also take with a grain of salt, over at fandomwire.com. So MCU's boss, Kevin Feige, might have just listened to fans' request. Exciting report on new Marvel characters' MCU debut. So a potential live-action debut for MCU's first non-comic original superhero might be on the card. So this was actually just posted today. So after instantly becoming a fan favorite, the Marvel's MCU's Kahori, who isn't in from the pages of comics, might be heading to the live action debut. So obviously she was introduced in the What If season 2, episode 6. We talked about our review. Twitter Cosmic Marvel saying Kahori will reportedly make her live action debut in the MCU within the next 4 years. Ooh. I know Zach was not too fond of Kahori because she's literally just a rehash Captain Marvel with Native American powers. Whatever happened to Red Wolf? Weren't we supposed to get?
Yeah, Red Wolf.
Yeah, weren't we supposed to get him? But again, I don't know. This is really tough because how many people are waiting for so many other characters from the right. Marvel comic book, Marvel universe to make their jump to live action? Mm-hmm. And we have this girl who just got the powers of Captain Marvel /
the Tesseract, right?
Tesseract version, yeah. And now we're just going to put her into like live action because she was in, two episodes? Yeah, two episodes of like What If, and I'm sure she's going to make a return in What If season 3 now. But did she really make a huge jump? Like, I feel like everybody was excited for her because you're like, oh, there's a new character. But then when you find out like what it is, it's like, oh, yeah.
I didn't hate the character. I just didn't think there was anything really there that was awesome.
Yeah, well, that's what it is. How do you bring her in knowing her powers are from the are they bringing her in exactly how they have? Because that's what it is. Like the What If series is part of the multiverse. And are you going to bring her in similar to how she has her powers? Like that's where I gave it to her.
Secret Wars?
Yes, because that would be like 4 years. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Who even knows in 4 years, right? If that'll still be the case.
Jonathan Majors could be back in 4 years.
Jonathan Majors, man. I don't know. I mean, we really trying to do, like you said, Red Wolf. Are we trying to do like Native American characters here? Like, if that's the goal, right? I mean, there's some great characters out there already. Like Thunderbird, Warpath, those are two amazing X-Men characters right there. They could throw in Native American. We have Echo as well, whether you like the show or not. She's a great character. I mean, Red Wolf's kind of weak as shit, to be honest with you. Like when I heard all that, I was like, oh God, that guy sucks. But
I couldn't think of anybody off the top of my head real quick. And I just remember, I could just see the what's it? Marvel Spotlight, one of the Marvel Spotlights.
Yeah. But yeah, dude, I don't know, man. This is the problem. This is when, and I'm not trying to be like on a soapbox or anything, but this is the issue is when you are trying to gear your universe towards checking boxes rather than storytelling. That's when shit goes awry, okay? Like, that's what happened with the sequel trilogy. That's currently what's happening with Marvel. They're like, okay, we don't need stories. We need, did you see did you watch the Panderverse South Park?
Yes, of course.
Kathleen Kennedy, make her gay. Make her a woman, make her gay. Everything, like, that's perfect. That's, like, exactly what's happening. Yes. I don't know, dude.
We'll see. I don't think it's true. I mean, I don't think it's true. I can't see her showing up out of the animation. You know, we talked about this a while ago when we did our live show of, you know, characters that were from cartoons that then made it into comics. That's what I think she'll do. She'll stay in the cartoon world. She'll be in the comics and that's it. I don't feel that she deserves the surpassing of legacy type character.
Right. Where's Nova? Where's Ghost Rider? Where are these characters we've been waiting for? You know what I mean?
It's like it's like the WWE. Like, you have all these people that have been working out and do and wrestling for so long, mm-hmm. and they should be getting their chance. And all of a sudden, this chick's going to come in and be like, "Yeah, I was in two episodes of What If. Now I'm coming right to live action."
What? I mean, I my prediction is if they go a live action, it's going to bomb.
I mean, 100%, because nobody's going to know. Like,
no one's going to go watch. Like, no one has any. I mean, you people will be like, well, no one cared about Guardians before. Well, Guardians had a history, though, in the comics. Mm-hmm. Whether you were super popular or not, there was people like us who were reading them.
Yeah. Did you read the Lanning, the Albert Lanning? Did you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Nope. Did you read Annihilation? Nope.
Yeah. Or even before all that stuff, too, right? Like, yeah. But yeah. Anyway, I don't know. We'll see. Join the fun, Kahuri. Come on in. Come on in. The water's nice. Come on in, Marvel Universe. It's going real well right now.
Yeah. Well. All right. Anything else before we get out of here?
No, man. I think that's about it.
All right. Well, positive episode. I swear I'll read books before next week. So what's going to happen is, let you know, obviously, I'll be at MegaCon. I'm leaving Thursday, so next Wednesday we'll be recording again, and I probably won't read next week's books, so I'll be talking about comics from this week for next week.
Okay, so then I picked the wrong episode to be like, hey, we are the podcast that reads our books, because your ass ain't going, and you're going to be hanging with Otto, who hasn't read a book outside of Claremont's era. We haven't read a new book, so...
Well, we'll see. But yeah, so I'll be going with Otto from 3 Minute Basement. I know there's a ton of people going to be down there from all over the country. Some people set up. I'm looking forward to checking out new vendors next week, checking out, seeing some people I haven't seen in a while, and see what MegaCon's all about.
So, sweet, dude.
I think, again, usually you know where you can find me. Got tons of stuff listed on my eBay page. Feel free to hit me up if you see anything you want it a little cheaper. I'll always try to make some deals off of eBay. Whatnot's still going once a week, so feel free to follow me there. And I mean, that's it for myself. You? That's it?
Same. I'm selling on eBay, but I've been selling on eBay for a long time.
Just really like started more using that. So yeah. Thanks, everybody. And again, check out our sponsor before you get out of here. Later.
Later.
Hey, comic book collectors. Do you want to protect what you collect? Do you hate when your comic books slide around in your short box, or you need to turn them sideways just so they don't bend or fall over? Well, look no further than Sidekick Supplies. Their product fits firmly inside your comic box, so you don't need to worry. And not only is their product made in the USA, but also ships free directly to your doorstop. Check out our sponsor, Sidekick Supplies, at sidekicksupplies.com, and use the code ComicCon15 for 15% off your purchase. Believe me, you'll be ordering more than one.